Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right,
and welcome to the Basketball Above All podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Double A. And with me, as always, the Basket Boys, Elijah and Craig. What's up, guys?
Not a whole lot. I have an announcement. Spanish Dirk will not be here this evening. I don't even know if we can call him Spanish Dirk anymore because he cut his hair.
Did he really?
He did.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. We might need to find another...
Sounds like a Spanish jerk.
I mean...
Hey-o.
Dirk looks fine with short hair, right? But it's not the Dirk that you first think of when you hear Dirk.
No.
Elijah, how are you doing?
I'm surprised by MC Dub, still. I mean, my Philly cheesesteak man.
Elijah, no surprises here. He hates you and he wants to prove you wrong.
Every game, it seems like he just hates me. And I crapped on him a lot preseason, and now he's just like crapping on me.
All right, we're going to go ahead and start off the podcast talking about the players of the week from last week. And the only reason I wanted to bring this up is because Markieff Morris of the Suns was named Western Conference Player of the Week. I'm going to run this line down for you guys.
Wait, are there other players still in the Western Conference?
Like, everyone else is still alive.
Did anyone else but the Suns have games? That's the question, right?
These are all good questions, and the answer is other people did play. 23-12 against the Spurs, 28-10 against the Nuggets, 23-5-2, and two assists, two steals against the Hornets. Player of the Week for Markieff Morris. I just thought that was good for that guy because we may never say his name again all season.
What does his game look like? Is he like a post guy?
He's a 3-4 hybrid. Can shoot threes. Went to Kansas, of course.
I think one of the things that actually kind of helps him is that his brother's game is just a little bit different from his. So that, like, when they're both on the court at the same time, because they're twins and they both play for Phoenix, that, like, the team might get confused and be like, oh, yeah, that's the twin that likes to slash and
yeah,
kick.
What's
it,
funny
or that's
is,
the twin that shoots threes. Like,
when they were in college, Marcus Morris actually played more. And he was more of a four power forward, played down low, and Markieff was, like, a stretch four. And his game translates better to the NBA. Marcus Morris is more of a down low guy, and he's a little bit undersized, so he doesn't play quite as much as Markieff does in the NBA. So... but yeah, I do think there's some confusion there with the twins. I don't know which one's which. Obviously, they look exactly alike. So
I think maybe one of the NBA players should just create an entire team. Like, how far away are we from an entire team
of Morrises?
Or just one family. Like, if it's a starting five of all Smiths.
Elijah, I don't know.
How old are LeBron sons?
I mean,
for this to happen, someone's got to be having kids at age 14 or 15, okay?
No, here's the thing. What I'm saying is, like, if Scottie Pippen just goes and decides to have intimate relations with, like, 15 different ladies in Chicago and give them all babies, because, I mean, I imagine Chicago area women want to have Scottie Pippen's baby, because
right.
Have you seen how handsome the man is? And then he just calls them all into a, you know, he makes his own team with them. And the ones that are the best of the team, the starting five, eventually get to the NBA, and then they're all on the same
Ladies
team.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elijah Montoya, our basketball analysts.
How did we go off of this tangent? I guess
it's my fault.
Elijah took us from talking about Markieff and Marcus looking alike to birthing a full team of NBA players.
That's what I want. can we just have it?
The Plumleys are close.
The
Pippins?
Yeah, there's
actually
three of them, right? There's lots of Zellers.
On the other side, though, we're going to talk about Paul George, who's had quite an incredible season. So far, averaging almost 8 rebounds and 25 points a game.
Eastern Conference Player of the
Week. And is early front runner for maybe the MVP. I mean, I think that he would be in the top three right now if we were talking about MVP candidates. And I want to ask you guys, who do you think to start the season is really putting their name out there as far as MVP-type seasons go? Do you guys have any names you wanted to mention or bring up?
Well, I mean, Paul George, he is the second favorite. Like, if you were putting a bet on today who would win MVP, he is second for odds. Number one is still LeBron. I'm sure KD was number three.
The weird thing is that the people that you would expect, or the people that are in the conversation for MVP, like your Derrick Roses, who was my pick that's not looking good, or your Kevin Durant, they actually haven't had that great of seasons thus far. Like, a lot of the superstar players have actually kind of started off slow and rusty, especially LeBron. Like, he's not impressing me right
KD,
now.
KD, he's not shooting as well as he has last year, but he's still averaging 30 points a game.
Yeah, and I kind of think with LeBron, the Heat right now are pretty much going to make the playoffs no matter what, and they realize how hard they played last year, and they, I think, see that they can't do that again and make it to the finals. I mean, I think someone said, I heard that LeBron has played in the last three seasons like 313 some games total, which is a ridiculous amount, and that's not even including the Olympics that he's been playing in. So I wouldn't expect to see him go crazy and win the MVP. I mean, he is, should be the front runner, but at the same time, if he doesn't get it, I wouldn't be surprised.
There's kind of another MVP candidate.
What do you guys think about Anthony Davis? Now, this is a guy that's been touted by ESPN as a legitimate MVP candidate this season. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I definitely agree. My favorite stat, if you don't already know, is PER,
Player Efficiency Rating.
Right. Made famous by John Hollinger of ESPN fame. And
who's now the Memphis Grizzlies GM.
Doing bigger and better things. Anthony Davis actually leading the league in PER. He's at 29.52. Kevin Love and Kevin Durant are close behind him. And it's just, it's everything together that makes him efficient. He gets his points, he gets his rebounds. He's in the top 10 in blocks and steals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
And that was what everyone was really seeing his potential as far as a player was really defensively. But offensively, he's coming into his own as well.
You know who's really happy about Anthony Davis's performance?
His unibrow?
No. The general manager of a fantasy team, the Breaking Brad Stevens. He's really really just enthusiastic about the ceiling for Anthony
Davis.
There's
nothing that people love more than hearing people talk about their fantasy team.
Hey, man, I drafted Anthony Davis. Okay. I have Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant. How can I lose?
So you brought up another name that was interesting, too, Kevin Love.
Right.
Now, the question I'm going to ask you is, can he win the MVP or can he not? Because I think if he puts up a full season, he can easily be the MVP of the NBA. So does he?
They would have to stay, keep this pace.
Does he stay healthy is what I want to ask you guys, because he's had a bad history of getting hurt at inopportune times.
The freak injuries is the thing with me, you know, with the knuckle push-ups and
the getting bit by
that weird thing.
Tetanus, where he got bit by Bogut and
classic. Nothing goes good from hustling. Okay, nothing good comes from hustling.
Well, this is something that I think is going to hurt Kevin Love's MVP case. His lack of defense, because we were watching the Clippers game last night, and he gets scored
he's
on
terrible
a
defender.
Lot. He gets scored on a lot. I mean, he can do anything offensively, which he's a golden god when it comes to offense, but defense, it's really hurting his team, I think.
And when you look at Paul George, who, you know, we're comparing to, and Anthony Davis, they are definitely two-way players.
They
can play offense and defense, which is, you know, right now where I'd say that the leading candidates would be, if you're in rank the top four, would be Paul George probably at one for me. I would say I'd still pit LeBron at number two just because he's LeBron, and I still think that
he'll get there.
He's going to be there close to the end of the season. Anthony Davis at three, and then Kevin Love or Kevin Durant at four. I'd probably put Kevin Durant there, but Westbrook's back, so
yeah.
How are we not talking about Chris Paul though?
Chris Paul's
having a great season.
A great season so far, but. And we can kind of talk about it. Let's talk about the Clippers for a second. Watching them, doesn't it feel, though, that they're missing something in the post a little bit?
Yeah, like if they had a David West, that team would be championship.
Basically, if they didn't have DeAndre Jordan. I mean, yeah. I know he can jump really high. I know he can dunk on everybody, and that's great. But, he's not very quick laterally, and he is not he's not a defender that you'd want someone his size to be. And on the other end, he really does not score unless it's an alley-oop or a putback. You don't see him getting the ball and isolating in the block. Now, I do think Blake worked on his footwork a little bit this offseason. I don't know. What do you guys think about the Clippers?
Well, it's tough to win a championship when your point guard is the go-to scorer in clutch time. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Isaiah Thomas is the last go-to scoring point guard that's won a championship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so hard. They're doing so much the entire game and put all that pressure on the point guard to score. You need to have that post person to, when the game slows down, to get those easy points, to get to the foul line. And, of course, DeAndre Jordan, terrible free throw shooter. Blake Griffin, mediocre at best.
Oh, man. I mean, they basically can't play them at the end of a game because of their poor free throw. Like, DeAndre Jordan, if they're in a close game, it's very tough for them to play him at the five when they're down. I mean, you know, they're almost better off moving Blake to the five. You know, I'm playing like a Matt Barnes with Jared Dudley as well. What's up, Elijah?
Did you guys see that the end of it was the Houston Clippers game, and Kevin McHale decided to go Hakka Jordan, and then Doc countered with Hakka Dwight, and it was just like a few minute span of just Hakka back and forth.
Haka.
Do you like that strategy?
No,
when
I
you
hate
watch
it.
A game you
it's
do?
The worst. And the Clippers were up by like 10.
You know,
I actually don't think it's a bad strategy. I think coaches make the mistake of doing it too long.
Yeah.
They'll keep doing it for...
I've seen the Nuggets when the Lakers came to... I believe it was when they came to Denver and Dwight Howard played there. But anyway, they were doing the same thing with Dwight, and they did it really early. I've seen Popovich do a hack of JaVale when the Spurs played in Denver. They started doing it midway through the second quarter. He started hacking JaVale McGee to get him to the line whenever. And it's a legitimate strategy. And I think as a coach, your fans are going to just hate you for doing something like that. But if you're winning games, then doesn't really matter, you know? Yeah, the Clippers to me, I like Chris Paul. I think he is going to be in the conversation because I think the Clippers are going to be up at the top.
J.J. Redick is going off.
Yeah.
Like it's him.
He is...
Ray Allen is great.
Is he the best shooter right now in the NBA? I mean...
When
right.
you have Chris Paul and Blake getting as much attention as they do, yeah.
yeah. Being able to just sit there.
So
I mean,
open.
Steph Curry is a better pure shooter as far as he can get a shot whenever he wants. Yeah. It looks so sweet. But J.J. Redick, man, that dude is dead eye.
He's averaging like 20 points a game right now. I looked at that and I was really surprised at how much he was averaging. It might have went down since his last game, but he's been playing fantastic. And he's surprisingly smart with his pump fakes.
Mm-hmm. Were we just missing for Redick? Was he just missing a point guard like Chris Paul to be able to give him the rock? I mean, he played for the Magic a little bit. He played for the Bucks. Never really had another guy.
Brandon
to take
Jennings,
attention
Shamir
off
Nelson.
Him. You know, yeah, he gets on the court and everyone's like, all right, shooter, like stay close to him. We know what he's going to be doing. But with Chris Paul driving to that side and taking attention off of J.J. Redick a little bit, it's really nice. I bet he's loving playing there in Clipperland.
And he's not a defensive leper either. Like. J.J. Redick plays
hard
can play
on defense. The defensive. Yeah, he can play defense. He is no
like
90% of the NBA.
Like running around those screens tires out his guy who's playing him on D, and then he just bodies him up. I like J.J. Redick.
All right, so let's talk now about we kind of talked about a little bit with Kevin Love and the T-Wolves. Do you think that they can maintain the clip that they're on right now or the pace that they're on? You know, right now, they're going to finish second in the division the way it is behind the Thunder, probably. Do you think that they can continue to stay healthy and do that? And not just Kevin Love, but we're talking about Ricky Rubio as well.
Well, yeah, let me look up some stats for them right now, because something tells me that they're taking a ridiculous amount of threes and hitting them, which will not continue for the full season. Right. So... Let me look at something.
Well,
real quick.
Kevin Martin has had a lot of big games for them. He scored 30 points. Like Kevin Martin's scoring a lot for that team.
We'll see if that continues. T-Wolves fans putting their hope in Kevin Martin are at some point going to wake up from that dream.
Well, that starting five is I think really good because Kevin Love, you know, he's a stretch. He can kind of shoot the ball from anywhere. You've got Pekovic, an actual good post player. Rubio's able to pass it to anyone. You got Corey Brewer cutting a lot, and then Kevin Martin just being able to hit a shot. Just the starting five makes a lot of sense to me.
Makes a lot of sense offensively, but when you get into the playoffs and you're talking about a grind them down, slow it up game, you know, we've seen with the Nuggets 8 seasons in a row that is a difficult thing for a fast-paced, high-scoring offense to translate into, especially when they cannot play defense.
Yeah, at some point you have to play defense.
And at some point, that Wolves team is going to run into they're going to be down by two.
To the Spurs or...
Yeah, to the Thunder or Spurs with a minute left, and I don't see them getting the stop. You know, I see Durant or Duncan or Parker, whoever that elite Western Conference player is, getting the ball, and I see them scoring on the Timberwolves at will, basically.
So Minnesota, that they take 23 threes a game, which is good for 10th most in the NBA, but they're only 18th in percentage, which is not a good combo. If you compare it to a team like Golden State, which shoots it at 26 times a game, but they're 4th in percentage. So there are good looks, and they're obviously, Klay Thompson and Curry, they're going to knock them down.
Right. So guess what, guys?
What's up?
James Harden was fined $5,000 for flopping.
I saw the
Is there any too. Hope? Is there any hope that LeBron gets fined this year, Craig?
LeBron is not a flopper in the sense that he flops on no contact. He
I will just say
he,
this.
He emphasizes the contact.
Yeah, well, because I'll say this about LeBron. If he were to never emphasize the contact, he would never move if someone touched him.
Yeah.
He has to, like, pretend that he's smaller than he is so that he gets the calls that guys normally get because LeBron is so strong. Same with Dwight Howard and Shaq. If you watch games with Shaq back in the day, he would get hammered. And he was so big, it didn't move him when he would get hammered right. like that, you know? Yeah. And so it just looks so different. I just, you know, we haven't really seen a star get a flopping fine. And I just, it makes me excited that the, because it seemed for a while like the NBA had some conspiracy theory that they're only going to fine role players for flopping.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Chris Paul, you, watch out, buddy. If they're fining stars, you're in trouble. Him and Dwayne Wade should have an acting class together.
And it's bad because they're giving the players the benefit of the doubt when they go and look at these questionable flopping calls. And when it's that obvious, do you deserve to get fined? Yeah. More than $5,000, to be honest. I don't know how the structure works. I imagine the fines get higher and higher
the more.
Danilo, Danilo Gallinari can't really run right now, but, you know, he's at home practicing his flopping for later when he returns to the Nets.
Gallo's pretty good at
it's, flopping. It's an art.
Speaking of Gallo, no timetable for his return, and it looks like the Nuggets are in for a rough season based off of our early start. Now, you know, with the Nuggets, they kind of, you know, fall into 20 plus wins at home no matter what.
Yeah.
So you don't imagine that they're going to be uber terrible, but it looks like they're going to be competing for the 7 or 8 seed in the West at best. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I don't think that there's a chance that they can make the playoffs.
You think they're out already?
I thought they were out before the season. Okay. And me and Craig were actually talking about this the other day, that JaVale going down might actually help Denver.
Well, he was not playing very much before he went out. I mean, he was not looking good.
You know, he was playing JJ Hickson, less starting than he was playing with George Karl?
Yes.
Crazy.
I think it was a game a couple days ago before he got hurt. I believe it was the game before he got hurt. He played 10 total minutes.
I just don't think Brian Shaw can watch his game. Like, he's just so disgusted.
Well, it's adding JJ Hickson to the mix as well.
Yeah.
You know, if you were talking about JaVale McGee and Jess Mozgov, JaVale McGee, I imagine, would get a majority of the minutes. But when you have a guy like JJ Hickson that is... He's a good player.
He can score,
yeah. And he might not be good at defense, but JaVale McGee is a knucklehead. So I kind of want him to come back so he can keep being bad. I've been very open about this since the season started. I do not want the Nuggets to be good. I want them to be terrible.
Yeah, so we can get Wiggins.
Yeah, Riggin for Wiggins. Speaking of Wiggins watch, we'll talk about that in a little bit. We're going to get back to... We're actually recording this during the halftime of the Duke-Kansas game. So we're going to get back after that game, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Andrew Wiggins and Jabari Parker and the rookie watch. Preview a couple more games, so we'll be right back. All right, we are back. Post-Kansas Duke. First thing... We just need to get out there and get off our chests. Too many fouls in college basketball, am I right?
Without question.
The new
hand check rules are terrible.
The freedom of dribbling rule is horrific.
The last 7 minutes of every college basketball game this year will take at least a half hour, if not more, with commercial breaks. It's awful. However, I'm a huge Kansas fan, and they come out on top. They beat Duke 94-86.
It was tied.
94-83, apologies. Go ahead, Elijah.
It was tied and then just...
It was tied at, Wiggins, what, 74 with 3 minutes left? Or tied at 78 with three minutes left?
Something like that, 79 or 78, yeah.
And KU just goes on a run at the end and from some really nice plays by Andrew Wiggins. Now, the reason why we're really talking about this game is for Wiggins watch. And we got Wiggins versus Jabari Parker in the first game of the season, second game of the season for KU.
Parker showed up big.
Parker scored 27. Craig, you watched the game. I'm going to tell you Wiggins' stat line, and you tell me if you thought that this seemed surprising to you. 22-8 for Wiggins.
8 boards?
Yeah.
I guess... Maybe because they weren't emphasizing the rebounds as much.
They weren't talking
about him getting boards, but I mean, he definitely has the length to be a double-digit board guy in the NBA.
It was just really a quiet... I mean, you would never have guessed watching that game that he had as many boards as he did or points.
You're all smiles right now.
I am, yeah. I'm so stoked about Kansas because they are loaded on the front court and the back court. Perry Ellis... scores in the 20s. Let's talk Jabari Parker.
I just wish that someone else on Duke knew how to play basketball.
Duke basically looks like Jabari Parker and everybody else. Now,
that's just one
fortunately
game,
for him, well, and they're also playing against Kansas, who is a top five team in the country this year for sure. So, you know, they're not, it's not like they were playing some cupcake school. Duke's going to look a lot better against some of their games in the ACC.
And they also didn't get blown out. It's just those last few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just, the free throw contest went Kansas's way at the end.
Yeah. And
well, Jabari's game, we were talking about it while we were watching it. It didn't seem like he was getting to the hole as much or trying. He wasn't posting up. Like Wiggins, he was really active and trying to post
slashing
up smaller,
a lot,
smaller guys. They just couldn't feed the ball to him, which I was unfortunate, but there was a lot of opportunities that Wiggins had to get easy layups or dunks if they would have just made some better entry passes to him.
If Wiggins hits a couple of his outside shots, he goes for over 30 in this game for sure. I don't remember him making a jump shot until the very end of that game where he hit that step back to kind of seal the victory.
Yeah, his jumper looks a lot cleaner and smoother than Wiggins does.
Does
for sure.
Jabari Parker look to you guys like an Andre Iguodala-type player? Maybe a little bit less athletic, but... in the sense of his quickness, but he is long arms, can jump high, can dunk hard. We saw the alley-oop dunk that he got in that game.
I was kind of getting a feel of, like, somewhere between how Anthony Davis plays and Melo plays. Like, somewhere in between those two games.
Okay. Well, he's 6'8", 235.
He's getting lots of steals. He's shooting it from outside. I wish that he was actually going to the hole more.
Yeah,
posting up more. Maybe that's not his game though.
You kind of notice the length of these two players. You brought it up, Craig. Just their wingspan. That, you know, they look long and they play long. And you know, there's a couple plays where Wiggins and Parker are going into the lane, and you know, it doesn't look like they're going to get any points. So it doesn't look like they're going to get a bucket. And then they stretch their arm out, you know, and they do some cool move with the ball and put it in. And I just think that these guys are clearly very talented. Jabari Parker has dropped a little bit in the preseason polls as far as the draft goes.
Yeah.
Do you think that his draft stock rises from this point till the end of the college basketball season? From what you've seen tonight, do you think that he's going to be a top three pick this draft?
I think so. Well, depending on his defense, because we didn't get a chance to see him play.
He wasn't guarding
defense.
Wiggins. He was guarding the four, Perry Ellis, who we, like we said, scored in the 20s.
Kinda,
I mean,
went off, yeah.
He was very active inside. So
yeah, I mean, he's definitely going to be guarding the Paul Georges and the LeBrons of the world when he gets in the NBA. So he needs to step up that for sure, because he's that build. He's a 6'8", 230.
Well, build. One of the interesting things about Jabari Parker is he grew up as a guard. He was a point guard, so he has a lot of those point guard skills, and then he just
filled out basically.
Yeah, he went through puberty and he just got, oh, well, this is my body now.
So we're really looking forward to the draft. Another guy that we need to watch out for a little bit was Wayne Selden, also plays for Kansas, who is projected at number 14, and Joel Embiid, who is a center for Kansas, also projected in the top 10.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Perry Ellis, he did look really good. Is he projected for
he's not
a lottery
supposed
pick?
To leave this the team this year.
Oh, is that right?
He was... he is one of those guys that's probably going to be a 3 or 4 year player. I would imagine that his career would look something similar to what Markieff Morris or Marcus Morris has done. The problem with Perry Ellis and his NBA potential, I think that you can see it a little bit, is his size. He doesn't look like he's that strong or he's that that wide or big, you know, for a post. But you know, he has footwork that was just very, very good. I mean, he could have the best footwork in college basketball as far as a post is concerned.
Well, if he stays 4 years in college, does anyone want to draft a 35-year-old?
Yeah, that's we were making jokes about Perry Ellis because he does look like he's been out of college for
17
years and came back to college. So anything
Drew
else?
Drew Barrymore style.
Drew Barrymore, never been kissed style. Anything else you guys want to say about the Kansas-Duke game? Of course, Kansas wins and is amazing.
You just really hope that Wiggins ends up somewhere good. That's like coming out of this, that I just hope that, like, Jabari and Randall, correct? That's the KU player? Julius Randall? Is that his name? No?
Okay, I guess Wayne not. Selden?
No. The other
for Kentucky. Yes. Sorry, I was.
Okay.
So, said KU and Kentucky's UK.
Oh, UK. I'm sorry. That's what I messed
we
up.
We need to stop the blasphemy.
No. So what I wanted to say was that I just hope that these guys that I saw had a lot of potential. They look great. Like they look like they could be NBA players. I hope they don't end up in places like Sacramento. Is what
well,
I
And I don't think we need to be that spoiled where they land on a team that underachieved this year and all of a sudden they're a playoff team the next year. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing them go through their early LeBron stages, their early Jordan stages where they're on playoff teams and they're carrying their teams. Because, I mean, they're going to be high draft picks and they're going to be on a bad team.
When Andrew Wiggins says he wants to play in Toronto, do you believe him for 1 second?
Yeah, I mean, he is Canadian.
Do people in Canada even know the Toronto Raptors exist?
People in Toronto do. Just because of billboards.
I don't imagine him actually believing that, unless the Toronto Raptors are his favorite team for some reason, which they could be. They could be. I could be just hating on the Raptors. Sorry, as Raptors fans.
Well, the thing is that I don't think he has to worry about playing in Cleveland, because if they somehow manage to get the first pick, they're not going to take him. They're going to take someone.
They're going to take someone that doesn't belong there.
I mean, you can kind of tell by a player's character by the school that he goes to. I mean, what would you say Kansas is on the top of sexy schools in college basketball?
Top three, almost top four.
One or two. Yeah, Kentucky.
We're talking about like,
if he wanted to go to a place and be this crazy star, maybe he would have gone to Syracuse or like a bigger market or UCLA.
The big four powerhouses in college basketball for the last 40 years are Duke, North Carolina, KU, and Michigan State, I would say. At least since Izzo's been there, you know, you can add, there's a couple other teams you could probably put in there. But yeah, obviously Kentucky, I don't know what I'm thinking about. Kentucky is number one probably.
Yeah.
So Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Michigan State, those are the schools that the guys that, you know, Syracuse, I would say is up there. Not quite as high as the other schools we just mentioned. Louisville's up there. UCLA is interesting because you feel like they should get more stars than they do. You know, being an LA school, California, nice weather, lots of pretty girls at UCLA, a good history of college basketball with Wooden and
lots of pretty guys at UCLA.
Even recently with Kevin Love and Russell Westbrook, that was a sick team in college. It was Kevin Love, Russell Westbrook, Darren Collison, Aaron Aflalo, all playing on the same team. And that was the year, actually 2008, when UCLA lost to Memphis in the Final Four, and that was the year that Kansas beat North Carolina in the Final Four, and then eventually Mario Chalmers hit a couple late threes against Derrick Rose to beat the Memphis Tigers for the championship. Rock. So, any other? I know. I'm in high spirits right now. Any other rookies or potential rookie watch guys that you want to talk about? If you were to pick right now, number one pick, who would you say?
Well, I mean,
it's gotta be Wiggins.
His hype machine is so loud right now that unless he has a bad year, he's going to be the number one pick. Even if you have the number one pick and you don't need a shooting guard, that's the thing. He's going to be a versatile player. So I think any team that has the number one pick is going to have a need for him.
And it's pretty clear he's going to be great in the open court too, with his length and athleticism. If I were picking number one right now, I'd take Jabari Parker. Based off of the game we just watched, Kansas is more of a team. I mean, I don't know if you noticed the game plan that they had. They do move the ball around a lot. They try to get it inside, back outside. You know, it's more of a grade school type of an offense almost.
Yeah.
You know, really getting guys to buy into the idea that they need to work the ball around the perimeter and get it inside and swing it back around to get open good looks, you know, especially late in game and get defenses tired. But when you look at Jabari Parker, it looked like he was playing an NBA game out there, you know, kind of taking dudes one-on-one a little bit, you know, and he looked big and athletic enough to be able to handle the size. That would be the one thing I'd worry about with Wiggins is his size, you know, being 200 pounds at 6'8".
Yeah.
I'd be a little worried about that. But you see Kevin Durant and he's fine.
Iceberg Slim is...
Yeah, so... Okay. So, but I based off of today's performances, I would probably take Parker over Wiggins. By the end of the season, that's not going to be true. I mean, Wiggins is going to be the number one pick, no doubt. So, let's get into some NBA games now. Do you guys have any games off the top of your head?
Yeah.
go ahead.
I actually got a few for tomorrow night, Wednesday. Celtics, Bobcats. You know, we can hopefully mark that down as a win. I don't know why the Celtics are trying to win now.
It's 4-4 for the Boston Celtics. What the hell?
Yeah. Why?
What's happening?
The 0-4 start was making Jabari Parker and Wiggins look pretty good to me. And then now, going four straight wins.
A quick note while we're talking about teams that are doing bad. New York Knicks are 2-4, and I'd like to.
You're right, Andy.
Feel like I feel like I'm looking pretty good on my Knicks miss the playoffs.
Especially Tyson Chandler right being out now, and then J.R. Smith just
being J.R. Smith.
Yeah, being terrible. You're pretty smart there, Andy.
All right. So, Andy, let's say you're right. They don't make the playoffs. Does that guarantee that Carmelo doesn't come back?
He goes to L.A.
You hear? Do we believe we're Nuggets fans? I know Craig's not, but you live in Colorado. Do you believe anything Carmelo says? He first said he wanted to test free agency. Then he said he wanted to retire in New York. He's literally quoted as saying both that he wants to stay and he wants to leave. I don't know what to believe. I do think, though, you're right, Craig. If they have a bad season and miss the playoffs, he's gone. And he's going to L.A.
I think
he's going to L.A.
I like
and Lala,
that so much.
Lala has two L.A.s in her name.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah,
I mean,
his
come
wife.
On.
You can't not. Here's my thing. I want Melo to go to L.A. because I want to hate him even more than I already hate him. And that's the only way for it to physically happen. He broke up with me and left me for New York. A prettier girlfriend. I get that. And then, now if he goes to my hated rival of the Celtics, yes, Melo. I can begin the hater right now. I want to say one last thing about the Celtics. Brad Stevens is smart because he found a good backcourt for us. Jamal Crawford, and I never thought I'd say this, but he's actually playing pretty well, which is disgusting in my brain. And
all right.
He moved Bradley Beal back to the shooting guard. Or not Bradley Beal. I'm sorry, Avery Bradley.
Wow, yeah. Avery Bradley is not a point guard.
Yeah,
and I really get annoyed when people talk about him that he's a point guard, because he's not.
No.
He only plays point guard because Rondo's out.
Exactly, yeah.
And they really don't have another person.
And he should
he's
never play
not a,
as
point
a point
guard.
Guard.
He's
no.
a shooting
he
guard.
He can't handle the ball.
Yeah, he can defend really well. He's a shooting guard.
A few more games I wanted to recap on Wednesday night. We've got Nuggets, Lakers.
No one cares.
Fun matchup. No, that's a fun matchup.
No one cares.
The Nuggets get up.
People care about the Lakers. Lakers are going to win.
And then the game that's actually on ESPN, the late game at 8:30, is Thunder Clippers. That should be a...
Elijah, I'm surprised you didn't want to bring up the 5-2 Suns playing the 5-2 Trailblazers. No? You don't want to talk about that one? Okay, I guess we'll talk about Thunder Clippers.
The Suns? How are the Suns good? That's my question.
I don't know. How do the Philly have 4 wins? I don't know. But these are all great questions.
The NBA is drunk.
The NBA is way drunk right now. Clippers, do they win at home against the Thunder? I say no, they do not.
I guess I would have to know the history between Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook a little bit more. I would say that Chris Paul has a hard time keeping in front of Russell Westbrook. It feels like he could just blow past him every time.
But it also feels like that Chris Paul is such a smart defender that he would back up on Westbrook and make him take jump shots all day.
That's true,
you know,
too.
And so I'm picking the Thunder on that one. Let's pick this game. What do you guys think?
I will go with Oklahoma City.
All right.
I like the Clippers at home.
Clippers at home. All right. And for funsies, let's pick Phoenix at Portland. I'm going to take the Suns. Markieff Morris. Player of the week.
It's too hard to win in Rip City.
I like how you talk like you're some kind of a Portland connoisseur. You're like, you heard them called Rip City like twice.
They have jerseys that say it.
That's true, they do. That's
Portland
right.
is surprising as well. I think they're 5-2 also.
I've watched Portlandia they enough are. Times to know what Portland's about, okay? Like, Fred Amundsen has shown me what Portland's about.
Thursday night.
Woo! Got a doozy.
Oh, Thursday night.
Oklahoma City at Golden State.
Yeah, that's the more exciting game. I'm looking forward to that
on a
game
second
more
of a back-to-back.
Then, well, so...
That's tough. At L.A., at Golden State. That's two tough
games. It's not that far of a travel. They'll be all right.
They'll be all right as far as travel.
Those are two tough games,
those are two
though.
Tough
yeah,
games,
that,
though.
That's the crappiest back-to-back. Like,
can they win those two games? Or they lose one for sure, I think, right?
Yeah, I think they lose to Golden State.
That's what sucks. That's kind of sucks about back-to-backs in the NBA, because you have to almost throw that second game out, because anything can happen, you know, especially when they try to get up for a big game. Craig, what's a game that you want to talk about coming up?
Just because Spanish Dirk is not here, I want to talk about Dallas at Miami on Friday.
5-3 Dallas against 5-3 Miami Heat.
The grudge match.
I mean, really, Dirk was not healthy last year, so I don't know if they played each other when Dirk was healthy last year.
But
it's always a good matchup between these two teams. Obviously, they have some history. How many cheap fouls will Dwayne Wade have?
All of them.
The question is, how mad will Spanish Dirk get at Dwayne Wade throughout this game?
And it's going to be interesting because we'll see if he actually gets fired for flopping too.
As a joke, we should repost all the text messages he sends you during the game, Craig.
It's like an angry...
I can start a conversation with him and see if I can egg him on. Like, oh, Dirk, past his prime, he's losing it. Like, he's like 0 for 2 to start the game.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Last thing I want to talk about before we wrap up the pod today.
Oh, I had one more game.
Did you? Okay, go ahead. Do that.
I just wanted to talk about a game that I'm going to in person. This Friday, I'm going to the Nuggets-Timberwolves game to see my main Spaniard, Ricky Rubio, my beautiful... He's
Elijah's a Nuggets fan, but he never goes to Nuggets games to watch the Nuggets.
No, man, you got to go to watch both teams that you want to.
Yeah, other people. I got you.
Yeah, no, yeah.
So, I'd be more excited to watch Kevin Love play.
And Brewer's coming back home. Me and my girlfriend are going to make a sign for Corey Brewer that says, "We love you."
Suck it, Corey. Should have taken less money to stay here, Corey.
No, he wanted to be on a good team.
Get paid, son. Oh, so tired.
Way to leave for a good team, Corey. That might be what the sign says. But yeah, I'm going to it. Our roommate Kyle's going with us as well, and I'm excited because I like Kevin Love, and I want to see how much.
I want to hear you yelling really loudly like that lady at the Spurs finals game. Yeah.
We're in the free throw area where you get to hold up bricks and shake things. Yeah,
get a sign. You should actually do a cardboard cutout of like yourself and just hold it up to try to distract him. You know, I'm Elijah, and just like
I want to make a Corey Brewer sign.
All right, you guys. The last thing I want to bring up today: Indiana Pacers are 8-0 to start the season. Now I'm going to read through the next couple games.
I already got it.
We're going to talk about when their first losses are coming. Okay. At home against the Bucks,
and not.
You think they're going to lose?
No,
you're buzzing it's as loss. They are going to not like lose,
right?
They got a bunch of rest coming up too, right? Or is that?
Well, they had 4 days off before this Bucks back to back. They go at home against the Bucks, then at Chicago for the Bulls.
Quick thing about you mentioned the back to back games in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
and then they had like these 4 day rest.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much better for the NBA product if they just eliminate back-to-backs. Instead of 4 days of rest, just regular 2 days of rest.
Yeah, a game, a day off. A game, a day off. It's crazy.
I hate
crazy
back-to-backs.
Talk, bro. And there's a lot like that we're imagining in a world that there's nothing else happening at these arenas. You know, there's other things that are going on that probably force them to do certain back-to-backs.
Right. The players have obligations to do charity work and mm-hmm. all that, make appearances. So I understand. But
especially in a lot of cities, too. Hockey's going on right now.
Right.
So be with their families for 4 days.
Do they lose at Chicago?
Ding, ding, ding.
You think they're going to lose at Chicago? Okay. Why do you say that?
Because I think Chicago is fed up. Derrick Rose is mad at himself. And this is the game that he's going to get hyped for. And it's just going to be one of those low-scoring 85 to 82 games, but I think the Bulls pulled out.
Okay.
I'm going to go the other way. I do not think they're going to lose because I actually think, and this is a very popular sports term, that Chicago is the good bad team right now. They have not looked good. They have almost no offense.
I agree, but I think a lot of it's Derrick Rose just struggling to come back. Like, I think that they're still taking time. I think 2 months from now, we're going to be seeing a different Bulls team. So I agree with you, though, Elijah, that they will not beat the Pacers in Chicago. So, Craig's already said that they're going to lose, so you're out of this game now.
Because
Elijah, are you ready?
The Pacers are the best team in the NBA, Andy. They're so good.
At New York, 4 days later.
New York's terrible. They're not losing there either.
All right. At Boston.
Well, obviously, I'm going to go with the homer pick and say Boston's going to crush them.
Okay.
No, but in the real world, they'll probably kill Boston as
okay.
well.
Okay. At home against the Sixers.
I mean, what are we at now? 12-0? Because it's looking like a possibility.
If we're talking about these games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 12-0 going against the Sixers.
I don't see them losing to Philly either.
Okay, 13-0 against the Timberwolves at home.
That's the one that they lose, all right. I think, because the Timberwolves have a lot of offense.
I think they are going to win and be 14-0. I think they're going to beat at Bobcats. They're going to be 15-0. I think they're going to beat the Wizards at home, and then they will get their first loss on December 1st at the Clippers. And that's my pick.
A whole month without losing?
I think they're going to start season 18
and 0. That's impressive.
They are what looks to be the most complete defensive team. And it actually looks like Lance Stephenson is going to be Lance Stephenson again and play well. So
he looks legit.
Looks good.
And then once they get Danny Granger,
who's coming back off the bench, next week,
Hibbert's too good too.
You know, with streaks though, you know, and also it's the NBA. I mean, they could very, very likely lose the game to the Bucks at home.
Yeah, because they're not up to play.
Larry Sanders out 6 to 8 weeks, by the way.
Sad.
So, anything else you guys want to close with today?
We didn't have a Twitter beef.
I'm so sad. Twitter beef this week. Yeah, no Twitter beef, no Spanish Dirk. You know, we kind of want to start a new segment about getting to know a certain player. So we're going to have a player we'll pick next week, and it'll be a get-to-know section. If you have any suggestions, email us at baapodcast@gmail.com, and we can get to know the player that you want us to get to know. We will create our own Twitter beef next week, as well as having Spanish Dirk back. It's been a good couple weeks of basketball, and I think we're really getting into the meat of the season now. You know, the time where you're looking at the television schedule and you see 14 games on, and there's some good ones. Oh, yeah,
some of the very overwhelming. The highlights that have been coming out these last 2 weeks have just been good.
They've been really good.
Yeah, love the NBA.
We do love college basketball as well, except for the fouls, refs.
I dropped like
swallow the whistle.
Yeah, I dropped like $230 on Celtics gear for myself for Christmas. I'm gonna look so swagged out.
Right. That must be what it's like when someone does their car payment on a Ford Focus.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. It's been a good podcast. Thanks so much for listening today.
I'm gonna have Celtics socks, Andy.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook.
Celtics glasses.
Basketball
too.
Above all.
Some little pants. It's gonna be great.
And
shorts.
Don't forget to email us at baapodcast@gmail.com.
Matching jacket.
Thank you so much combo for listening. Again, for Craig and Elijah, have a great, great evening. We'll see you soon.
Basket bye. You be nice, you sharks and jets out there.